Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, or chapter 4. Chapter 2. Just turn to 1 John. All right. Now listen, me and Matt have devotions during the week. We try to strengthen one another. We try to build one another up. We try to encourage one another. And so we live in a day and age where information is so readily available at our fingertips. And the problem that we see is that as we grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord, we're growing, but we're growing very little. We've seen so many people, so many scientists, so many atheists, agnostics, that are giving us hard questions and hard to defend. I'm telling you what, their well-crafted arguments are hard to defend. And so a lot of people are walking away from Christianity. I see more and more on social media, YouTube. Many people that say, I was a Baptist, I was a Christian, I was non-denominational, I grew up in church, and man, you give me this video, and it just clarified things for me. I'm walking away from Christianity. It's a sad, sad day. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, that we are to destroy arguments. But the problem is that we can't destroy arguments because we've never been founded in the truth to begin with. And I'm not talking about knowing a little bit about the scriptures. I'm talking about growing every day. And so if we were to do commercials and if we were to do, you know, if I was to say something to the effect of, like a good neighbor. Oh, okay. You're in good hands with? Here's an old one. Rice-a-roni, the? That's wonderful. People know that stuff. You memorize that stuff. That is ingrained into your head. But if I ask you what Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 through 18 says, what is that? John 3:36. What does that state? It's a hard thing to spend your life knowing something. And so when we talk about spiritual maturity, we need to be growing. We need to be growing in knowledge and grace of the Lord. Not just growing like Thanksgiving growing, but we need to be growing up. We need to be maturing. And it all comes down to this, fatherhood. And I apologize, that is my mistake. Man, that's twice in a row I made a mistake. 1 John chapter 2 is what it is, actually, 13 through 14. Sorry if you went to the wrong one. I was just testing you. One of us failed. So as we progress through our maturity to become, as the Apostle John says, fathers. And so we began as babes, mostly knowing that our sins are forgiven. Listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. John writes, I write to you little children, I write to you little babes, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And that's basically what it is. His sins are forgiven, and that's basically what anybody knows. It's a sad, sad day, and that's about all. So people who are supposed to be experts in the law back in Jesus' day, they asked him a question, and this is what Jesus said to them. In Matthew 29, 29, Jesus answered and said, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And so we have the same problem today. That's why there's no difference between a babe in Christ or a little child and an unsaved person. Because neither one of them know the scriptures. They err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And to somebody of the same caliber, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 27, he said, he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Jesus tells us in 1 John chapter 4, matter of fact, verse 1, Johnny tells us, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. He says in verse 6, this, that same chapter, we are of God and we know God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, but this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And this is what Peter says that we're to be careful of in 2 Peter 3:17. He said, "You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." Jesus said that many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And that's what we're seeing in our day and age today. Many false prophets are arising and they are deceiving many, many people. Babes, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he said that we should no longer be children. Don't be babes in Christ, not knowing anything, who get tossed to and fro and get carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's what we see a lot of today. The problem is that babes in Christ or little children, they can't test the spirits because they don't know which one is the truth and which one is error. They get led away by the error of the wicked and they are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. I would pray that as you grow in knowledge and grace of the Lord, that you have this prayer as the psalmist did in Psalm 119:18. He prayed that God would open his eyes that he may see wondrous things from his law. Actually, it's his word. That was the law. It was his word. So you could equate that for his word. They err because they don't know the doctrine. They err because they don't know the word of God. So there's a progression there. As you begin to know the word of God, you move from a babe into a young man, a spiritual young man. Now, unlike the babe, a spiritual young man is strong in doctrine. John says in 1 John 2:14, he says, "I've written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one." That's awesome. Spiritual young men overcome the wicked one because they know doctrine. They know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We tried to talk a little bit about doctrine last week, but they know doctrines such as salvation, the doctrines of the origin of sin, the doctrines of heaven, the doctrines of hell, the doctrines of angels, demons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, doctrines of Satan, evil, cosmology, anthropology, eternal security, the doctrine of ecclesiology, just to name a couple. And there's many, many more. These are youth. They begin to know doctrine. So the question is, do you know doctrine? Here's one, the efficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture, that's another doctrine that's under attack today. And sadly, that attack comes too often in our own churches. Management techniques, worldly methods of drawing big crowds, entertainment, extra-biblical revelations, mysticism, and even some forms of psychological counseling all declare that the Bible and all of its precepts are not adequate for your Christian life. So where do you go to get the information? Where do you go to get counseling? Where do you go to get help if you can't hear it from the Word of God? Do you hear the Word of God? I guess that'd be the question. Do you hear the Word of God? Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they" what? "They follow me." So here's my question. Do you hear Jesus' voice? Does he know you? And are you following him? There's no better way I can explain, exemplify, and illustrate this than this. Roll on one, Stevie. Scripture speaks to us if we are of God. Does the Scripture speak to you? Do you even hear God's voice? Jesus said in John 8:47, he said, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God." Young men are strong because they've overcome the wicked one, because they know doctrine and they hear God's word. But that's not where it stops. That is not where it stops. We need to move forward in our spiritual growth. It doesn't just stop at doctrine. It moves forward knowing the God who created that doctrine. That's where we want to finish. It goes into fatherhood. Just because you were born doesn't mean you want to stay a teenager all your life. Well, some of you may. But we need to move forward. We need to progress. We need to grow up. You can know a book from cover to cover, but not have any clue about the author. But listen, as you begin to know doctrine, you can know doctrine. But if you know the author of that doctrine, it makes it so much more rich and so much more powerful in its effect. All right, let's look at our text. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. John says this twice in two passages. He says the exact same thing. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And then in verse 14, he says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Greg Pugh, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? Yes. Amen. Thank you. John says that we are to know him who is from the beginning. Well, who's that? That is the one eternal God. All right? So, was the Bible written to give us information on that one eternal God? Yes. Okay. So the question is, what was the purpose of the Bible giving us that information about that one eternal God? Well, I believe that Paul sums all of this up in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The whole Bible was written so that I may know him. And that's what John's saying. We need to know him who wrote the doctrine. Not just know the doctrine, but know him who is behind it. That's the third stage of spiritual development. Not just to know the doctrine, but to know the eternal God behind the doctrine. That's when your life has become, when you become into fatherhood, that's when your life has become an experience of worship. Daily worship. It's not just warfare on doctrine. It's when you understand, as the hymn writer said, Charles Wesley, famous brother of John Wesley, as he wrote in his hymn, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Are we lost in wonder, love, and praise of that eternal God? You know, you can get to the point in your spiritual growth where your soul is just in awe of the knowledge of God. Why is it only at Christmas and Easter where we begin to reflect on this stuff? Where we just get so excited and so happy about the God behind the doctrine? I mean, we talk about Jesus being born at Christmas time, but we just love the Father for giving him to us. But what about every other day of the year? God wants us to progress, wants us to move forward. It's a deeper, intimate relationship that he's after. It's not just that you understand the letter that God gave you. It's that you understand the heart of the God who wrote that letter. That's the idea. There's got to be depth there. It can't be explained. It can only be experienced. What's the power that moves us along into our spiritual growth? It's God's Word. How can you be a spiritual young man? You got to be strong in God's Word. That's how you know doctrines, when you're strong in God's Word. But you're not even going to be a spiritual young man if you're not strong in the Word. If you're not strong in the Word, how the heck are you going to move forward to being a father? You're never going to know the God who wrote the Word until you know what he wrote. We want to get to the Father. Everybody wants to be like the Father. But how do you get to the Father? Jesus said in John 14, 6. It is John 14, 6. Acts 17:11 says that those were more noble than these, that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Don't take me at my word, take God at his. All right, John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. That's the idea. You want to get to the Father? You want to be like the Father? You got to go through Jesus Christ. He said, nobody gets to the Father except through him. And you can only come to the Father through the Word. Right? Isn't that what Jesus is? John 1, 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? The Word was God. As you get into the Word and you go deeper and deeper into that Word, the character of God will begin to develop and expand, and you'll begin to know Him. You literally live your life in awe and wonder of God as you grow more and more in Him. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And he said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is life-giving. Matter of fact, in Psalm 119, verse 25, in the ESV, puts it this way. My soul clings to the dust. Man, I'm just a dead guy. Give me life according to your word. It's according to God's word that we have life. It's life-giving. It's also powerful. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and what? Powerful. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5, Paul said, for our gospel didn't come to you just in words, but also in what? Power. The word of God should transform us. Romans 12, 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you know God's will? You got to know the God of that will. You got to know the God that wrote it down. He's got a perfect will for us in our lives to conduct our daily lives. You've got to know it. Matter of fact, it is the bread by which we live and grow. In Luke 4:4, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. It is God-breathed. In John 6:58, Jesus said, this is the bread which come down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate, and they're dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. This is living bread. But they said, some of this stuff is hard to understand. Oh, I don't know about this. Oh, I don't know about that. It was hard for them to understand. And you know what happened to some of them in John 6:6:6? That's an easy one to remember. John 6:6:6. From that moment forward, his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus looked at the 12 disciples and said, are you 12 going to leave me too? Are you going to leave? And you know what Peter said? John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. He says, Lord, where are we going to go, man? You have the words of eternal life. And listen to this. He said, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus himself said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Paul stood on Mars Hill and tried to proclaim this to a bunch of polytheistic people who had so many altars in this one to an unknown God in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. And he said, for in him, for in Christ, in God, we live and we move and we have our being. That's where we should live. God is the one that gives us our faith. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's God who increases our faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. How does God increase our faith? Paul tells us that in Romans 10:17. How do you get faith? He is the author. How do you increase faith? Right there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. The pursuit of all of us should be to become spiritual fathers. And the characteristic of that spiritual father is the intimate knowledge of God. And like the knowledge Christ had of his own father. Turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This is why Jesus came in the flesh, to display the Father. And it was his prayer that we could know God like he knew him. John chapter 17, starting in verse 14. It says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them," or set them apart, "by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them." Jesus was saying that we may know God the Father as he knew God the Father. I don't want you to just have doctrine. I want you to have an intimate knowledge of God the Father the way Jesus knew him. May we as believers come to a mature knowledge of God. And whatever those limitations are that we have, may God as much as possible, in the same way that Christ knows him, may we know him that same way. If we know him accurately to be who he really is, then that knowledge of who he is will bring it about our life, a life that literally overflows and outpours in true worship. Jesus said in John 5:19, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in the same manner." Do you know the Father? Because Jesus knew the Father, and he did everything that he saw his Father do. If you're a child of God, you should do exactly what you see your Father do. John said in John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6, "Now by this," by what? By this, what he's about to tell us. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk just as he walked." Let me finish with this one verse. I've given you 46 verses. Well, 45. This is the last one. In the Bible, there's 31,102 verses. And I've just given you 46 this morning. Some of you might remember one or two of them. But of the 31,102, how many do you know? Because we can quote commercials and songs. We know songs by heart. At Christmas time, we spend 11 months forgetting them. And then 1 month, they all come back to us. But when does Scripture come back to us? When is God's Word allowed to be infiltrated in our lives every day of the year, not just one day? To know God is to love God. And if you know Him, you will love to be in His presence. Because as the psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, he said, in your presence, in God's presence, is the fullness of what? Is the fullness of joy. Do you have joy? If not, do you know Him? Are you a babe? Do you get tossed about with every hard question and everything that comes at you? Do you just know doctrine? Or do you know Him? If you say you know Him and you don't keep His commandments, John says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So my question to you is, do you know Him? Let's bow for prayer. Father, You are the One who is from the beginning, as John said. You manifest Yourself in the flesh in Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for Your grace to us. And wherever we are on our road to spiritual maturity, God, grow us up. We need to grow up. Make us spiritual young men. Make us spiritual fathers who have reached the mature level so that we know You, the Eternal One. May we know You as Christ knows You. May we be filled with wonder, love, and praise, as the hymnist wrote. May we realize that that growth isn't going to happen by an event. It's not going to happen by decision, and it's not going to happen by just one experience. It is the consistent, ongoing, hard work of hearing Your Word, believing Your Word, and applying Your Word to our lives. To that end, Lord, we pray that we might enjoy the fullness of spiritual blessings in Your presence that only comes to those who are strong in Your Word, who know You. Father, we give You this invitation, Lord, and we pray that You just have Your way. Just have Your way, Lord. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.